Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
All right, let's speak to Dr. Mordechai Kedar. He's a former IDF intelligence officer. And if there's one person who we should be talking to about the demilitarization of the Syria buffer zone, it is Dr. Mordechai Kedar. And good morning, sir. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Nice to hear you. Good morning to you, too.
It's always good to speak to you. Thank you very much for making time. The demilitarized Syria buffer zone. Which is the Syrian buffer zone?
Well, this is a strip on the Golan Heights.
Yes.
Between the Israeli side and the Syrian side. The width of this strip varies from the north, which is wider, around 1 kilometer. While in the south, it's smaller size. Yet, it is meant to prevent any friction between the Israeli army and the Syrian army, as it was viewed in 1974, 50 years ago, when the agreement on the detachment on the Golan was signed between Israel and the Syrian and Syria. Meanwhile, there is no Syria, means there is no Syrian army on the other side. And in order to prevent any attempt of jihadists to come from Syria to Israel, more or less like what happened on October 7th in Gaza, Israel took over this buffer zone in order to increase the Israeli security vis-a-vis the jihadists in Syria until we know what the shape of government Syria has. The Israeli logic today is hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And this is the preparations for the worst. We got rid of the Syrian army. We bombed for 2 days. Israel destroyed the Syrian army, air bases, navy units, airplanes, helicopters, tanks, cannons, storages of ammunition, and most important, storages of chemical weapons, which the Syrians still had. And in order to make sure that these weapons are not serving any jihadist organization, which we see already as part of the revolution which succeeded last weekend to send President Assad out to Moscow and to take over the country. So we have to be very careful, because this area, once in a while, there is a jihadi land like ISIS, and we don't need another one with heavy weapons from the ex-Syrian army.
Exactly. 1981, when Israel went in, I mean, the most incredible, incredible operation, I can't remember the name of the operation, but sent in these fighters. It was an aerial attack on the Iraqi nuclear reactor. And, you know, the whole world condemned Israel at the time, publicly, but quietly said, thank God you did it. But when ISIS took over, we had the Arab Spring in 2012, and ISIS took over Iraq. I mean, thank God they didn't have those nuclear reactors. Is that the same case now with Syria? Because you just don't know who the leadership really is, or do we?
We hope not, because the organizations which prepared for this assault on the Syrian regime 2 weeks ago, when they were gathering in Idlib area in the north under the auspice of the Turkish army, or the protection of the Turkish army, they are a multiple direction organization. Some of them are really Islamist, ISIS-like or Al-Qaeda-like organizations, while others are totally secular. Some of them are not even Islamic, Christians, I think. And they are as far as could be from a jihadi way of thinking. together, they got rid of the Assad regime. Now they have to divide the bear skin between them. And if they succeed to do it in a good way, in a pluralistic way, and to shape a new government in Syria, which will be inclusive, I wouldn't even say democratic, but inclusive and pluralistic, which will honor every direction and every kind of organization, this might be acceptable by the world, and the world will accept it because this is the way how to run a very diverse society as the Syrian is. However, and here comes the big however, there could be that the struggles between them, between these organizations, about the direction which modern Syria or new Syria should take, it might become a place of struggles, feuds, fights, bloodshed, as it is in Iraq, as it is in Yemen, as it is in Sudan, Libya, and Syria might join the failing states of the Middle East because of the domestic feuds and struggles in which usually the jihadists have the upper hand because they are much more violent than the others. And in that case, if this happens, Israel and all the other environment should be prepared to take care of these jihadists, because the jihadists are a danger not only for their own society, they are a danger to other countries as well.
Absolutely fascinating. So I suppose the coming days will tell us. And I just hold my breath. I hold my breath for Israel. You know, this tiny little island of defense that we don't even realize in the rest of the world is actually ultimately serving our interests.
But let me calm you down.
Thank you.
As vicious as jihadists might become, they are no more than a tactical threat on Israel, because we made sure that all they have is some AK-47 Kalashnikov rifles, maybe some machine guns, and that's it. And this is a tactical threat, yet I don't like it, but this is a small threat. While Assad and the Iranians were posing an existential threat on Israel, strategic threat, because they have many heavy missiles with potential nuclear weapons as well. If I have to choose between Iran and the jihadists, I prefer the jihadists.
Why?
Not because I love the jihad, but because the danger is much smaller than the alternative. So, definitely Assad should have been kicked out, no doubt. And the Iranian pact should have been destroyed, no doubt, in order to make sure that Israel is safe from the Iranian threat, which is a strategic threat compared to the others.
So interesting. So interesting. Thank you very, very much for your time, Dr. Kedar.
Thank you. And good morning.
And good morning.
And I am a compulsive optimistic.
I can hear that. And well done for calming us all down. Thank you very much. That is Dr. Mordechai Kedar. He's a former IDF intelligence officer talking about the Syrian civilian war. So interesting that he says the Iranian regime versus the jihadist regime. He would rather take the jihadist regime any day.